going on, everybody? Welcome to the UGASports.com, all things Georgia Collins show. I'm Paul Meharry. That's Andy Stowe. That's Eddie from Ackworth. We're here for you on another Sunday night. After this show, make sure to stay around. Film Don't Lie guys will be doing a mock draft. So make sure to hang out with those guys and make sure to hang out with us. Let us know where you're watching from. Put it into the chat. We love shouting that out. Last week, we got to guess what Andy made for dinner. If you missed it, it was red beans and rice.
Eddie made for dinner.
Yeah, what Eddie made. Did I say Andy?
I think you did. You said
Eddie. My bad. What Eddie did. This week, we're not guessing Eddie's dinner.
Instead, although I did make a dish today, and it was shrimp etouffee, and it was awesome.
It was what?
Shrimp etouffee.
Yeah. You don't know, Andy's not cultured. Anyways, guys, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to be diving into this, the last show before the NFL draft. We're going to talk about how many dogs we think are going in the first round, who the Falcons are going to go after. The quarterbacks seem to be shooting up the boards here, so we will talk about that. The Georgia Bulldogs also, we always talk about Georgia football. We'll find something with the new rule changes. How will that affect the Dogs and all of college football, really? And then also the Atlanta Braves are on fire right now. We'll discuss about what's coming up for them this week, who they're playing, and all of that good stuff. So, guys, before we get going, like we always do, I always start with Andy. So, Eddie, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I just want the listeners to know that I logged on to the show. We do a little pregame warm-up, and Paul said, why the hell do you look so old? No, he said, why do you look older? So I look older this week as compared. So I'd like the listeners to log on. Do I look older? Because the only thing that's changed, I got a new pair of glasses, okay, and I got a little scruffy. So
that's what it's the glasses. It's the glasses. The glasses.
The glasses.
It is. It is. Right. That's on me.
My wife picked these out, so I'll make sure to tell my wife that Paul thinks I look older in these glasses that she picked out. So thanks a lot.
Andy, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Pretty good weekend. The brain is killing them all.
Andy, what type of shoes are you wearing right now? I want to know what kind of shoes you're wearing. Are they boots or are they Birkenstocks?
I'm wearing boots. I will not wear a Birkenstock.
You wear boots right now?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. In his own house. Garrett Key says, evening, gents. Hope you all had a good weekend. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Goat Dog watching from Columbus. Let us know where you're watching from, guys. Larry's watching from Loganville, Georgia. Hey, Monroe Hurricane right here, baby.
Yeah,
right
here. Close to you.
Phoenix City. Garrett Key, you're in Phoenix City? I didn't know
he was from Phoenix City.
I thought he was in Athens. Mm-hmm. Anyways, guys.
He's at the game every day, so I assumed he lived in Athens.
The NFL draft, guys, is finally on the come up. On the, what is it? Precipice? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's on the docket.
Yeah, it's on the docket. Yeah. Thursday night, we've got 5 hours of first round coverage. They've turned this into a matinee extravaganza where the first round takes 5 hours, second round takes around 4. So we're gonna have to lock in for the Falcons pick there.
Does it really take 5 hours? Because it starts at 8. I don't think it takes that long.
No, it takes.
Well, they only do the first round on Thursday.
Right, they only do the first round.
Yeah, so it's only a couple of hours. And then Friday night, they do second, third, right?
Yeah,
right. But it's going to take all of four hours. We're not going to see the Falcons pick until 9:30, 9:45 probably.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah.
Now is when we put our dollar down, guys. We're going to do two different types of picks here for the Falcons. One, we're going to write this down of who we think the Falcons are going to take. This is for our pride, if you will, to get this right. And then after we say who we think they'll take, we're going to say who we want them to take. So with that being said, hey, Dog 85 watching from Running Springs, Sydney Lawrence watching from Coweta County. What's up? And then glasses and scruff makes you look older. Dog 85 says, yeah, I'm just saying. Jerry says Falcons taking Brock Bowers 8. We'll talk about that. We're going to get there. So before we get going, Eddie, number 8, you got your dollar. You got to put it down. Who are the Falcons taking Thursday evening?
I'll put a dollar down right now and say they're going to take the cornerback from Toledo. That's who they're going to take.
Really? So Quinyon Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. That's who they're going to take. Yep.
That's who you think they'll take, or that's who you want them to take?
No, that's who I think
they're going to take. Yeah. Okay. That's not who I – Andy, come on. That's not who I want, okay? Right. I mean, come on. That's why I said we need to do two different questions here.
Yeah, that's who he thinks. Yeah. All right, Andy, who you got? Who are you going to put a dollar down?
If I had to put a dollar down right now, I would say they're going. I'm going to go with the easy pick, and I'll say Dallas Turner. Wow. And I think they know that they need an edge rusher, so I do think they'll go Dallas Turner.
It's almost too easy.
That's what I was going to say. That is everywhere. That is like the pick that everybody's got. That's too obvious. It never happens that way, does it?
But well, hang on. Can I say this? I actually think they may trade down a couple of picks and then I actually think they may do that because I'm not against Dallas Turner or Verse, whoever. I don't care. But it's like I think they can get one of those guys 11 or 12. So I think they actually may finally do something right and trade down a couple and still get it. So I'm going to say they trade the 8th pick and get Turner 11 or 12. That's what I'm going to say.
Wow. Okay.
There's something in me saying Roma Doomsday, dude.
Yeah, I almost went that way.
There's something there that is just telling me these Falcons are going to go with another offensive weapon. And here's my take. Here's my reasoning for that. Okay. If you take Dallas Turner, it doesn't move your team as much as Roma Doomsday would. If you did Roma Doomsday with this offense, it's probably a top five offense. Am I wrong? Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Roma Doomsday. It's probably a top five, top seven offense. You take Dallas Turner, you're not moving the Falcons defense to top five, top seven with him.
Agreed. No? I agree with you.
Yeah, but you're having to win games 35-30, right?
I think you might have to do that anyway.
I disagree with you. Dallas Turner is another piece you need on that defensive line to get out.
Well, let me ask you this about Dallas Turner. Is he game changer?
I don't think so.
Is Jared
I don't think he's the kind of player that changes. No, I don't think that at all. But that's yet another piece with Grady Jarrett at all on the line that can get after the quarterback. And we have not done that at all. We have not drafted that position at all. We made some moves in the offseason for free agents. I get that. But you've got to stop people. You've got to stop the other quarterback. And I don't mean you have to have 10 sacks. You got to affect the quarterback. And we do none of that right now.
And that's why I think they'll go that route. But no, I would not be surprised if they got a Doomsday. I think that's
– I wouldn't either.
The easy pick, right, is Dallas Turner. But I didn't want to piggyback off of you there, Andy, and both of us picked that. But there's just something in me. I was thinking last night, I was like, man, you know, for the Falcons, if they were to get a Doomsday, this offense is almost unstoppable if Kirk Cousins comes back and does what he's been doing in Minnesota. Like that's
what if Malik Nabers is still there? I saw that.
Malik Nabers is, I think.
Well, he's around six, is what a lot of people. I did see someone post that.
I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think he'll be there.
Okay, if he is, do you get him or Doomsday?
I'd take Nabers.
Oh, yeah, Malik, Nabers absolutely. If he's
Well, let me ask you this then. Let's say Nabers is there. Let's say you have Dallas Turner. Let's say those guys are there. Who do you take?
That's a good one because I know my answer.
You're saying take Nabers, right?
I would. Yeah, I would take
Nabers. You said Nabers and who?
Dallas Turner. Or Verse. Well, either one of those guys.
So. Verse will be there.
I'll take Jared Verse.
I would take Verse too. I think Verse, even though he's sliding on draft boards, I think.
Why is he sliding? I've seen
that. I don't know.
Why did Jalen Carter slide?
Well, that was because of that rant. But that's what I just wondered about Verse.
Yeah, he doesn't have any of that. If you turn on the tape, if you go watch Verse, he's a. Like, you want to talk about a game changer? I don't know if Dallas Turner is so much a game changer. Jared Verse could be a game changer in the NFL. He's got the size. Like, he looks the part of an NFL defensive end that's going to be around for 10 years.
While we're talking about in Florida State, did y'all see that ring that they posted? My God, 13-0. Did you see that,
Paul? I did not see that.
Oh, that's sad. Tell him what it is.
They posted a ring that they went 13-0 and they run the state of Florida. And then people are commenting, no, actually, Georgia runs that state.
Was it USF that did that?
Well, USF, they claimed, or no, it was Central Florida. They claimed a national championship. Yeah, you see, it was Central Florida. They claimed a national championship.
But at least they were undefeated.
They were, but this the state of Florida sad.
Hey, we got a celebrity here, guys, and I'm not talking about Garrett Key in the background. I'm going to get him in just a second. He's smiling. I thought I was talking about him. The Dog Father says, how about Terry and Arnold, who tested through the roof and have two very good cornerbacks? I'm not high on Terry and Arnold. I'm not. There's some people that are. I think that he'll shoot up the draft boards. He's projected, you know, middle of the first round, early, you know, 10 through 15.
Yeah, he's going 15 in this draft is where I see
Yeah, the one I'm looking at is he's 12. So, but okay. Again, I don't think they go – I don't want to go corner. Now, let's flip it real quick before we bring Garrett on. Who do we want to see them take? Who would we want to see them take at 8? Eddie, you're up first.
Joe Alt. You invested $100 million in your quarterback. Protect his ass.
Where are you going to play him? Where are you going to play him?
I don't care. You can rotate him in, and the two tackles are older now. So you can play him right now. Or you can move him to guard. I don't care. Get a lineman.
Yeah, he's a true tackle.
I know he's a true tackle, but
that's my only lineman.
You can't have enough of them.
That's my only concern with Joe Alt. I like it. I like the pick, but where do you play him? You've got Matthews and McGarry locked down for a good while. They've been there for a long time too.
Who do you want, Andy? Getting older, and you need a lineman to come in and take that place at some point. So sorry.
I will say this. If Joe Alt, sorry, Eddie, I know you don't like when I agree with you. If Joe Alt is there at the 8th pick, you've got to take him. If he is not, I want them to trade down 2, 3, 4, 5 picks and then take the defensive end.
You're right, Andy. I didn't say that. My dream scenario is just what Andy said, to trade back. That's the dream scenario for me.
I don't think the Falcons have traded back in quite some time, though.
They've never done it.
Yeah. I think this front office may be trying to do a little something different. I don't know. I got a feeling about Fontenot. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling about it. He just seems like – I think he's actually able to run the team now. And so I'm hoping they make some good moves. But that is my – if Alt's there, I say take him. If not, trade down 3, 4 picks and get the defensive end.
I think I'm with you there. This all kind of hinges on what the Vikings do. Yes. If they have to move up above the Giants to take their quarterback that they want, then that the move back for me would be pick 11 and pick 23 for pick 8. That's like, you send me that, I'm in heaven, okay?
Yeah.
But I think the Vikings are going to have to get in front of the Giants in order to get their quarterback that they want, which – kind of screws up the whole Falcons drafting back. With that being said, I would love a move back. So I'll take that. But if they're sitting there at 8, man, it's tough. It's tough to go against if Malik Nabers is there. Like, that's who I would want them to take. I don't think he's going to be there, though, is the problem.
Yeah, this draft that I'm looking at shows that he's going 6 to the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost penciled into the Giants. But it all hinges on what happens with that Chargers pick at number 5.
So it Foster sounds like Moss, you lean. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say Foster Moss is in the building. What's up? We got Josh Skelton in here. What's going on? Goat Dog is in favor of trading down. I love it. Skelton, draft back, trade back and draft edge, either turn or reverse. Worthy or Dallas? You want Xavier Worthy at the 8th pick, Foster?
It's way too early.
Foster's second favorite team has to be the Oakland Raiders. He loves speed. He loves the speed and out, baby. What were you about to say?
Worthy ran a 40. That was good. I mean, what did he do? Come on. That's silliness. So, Paul, it sounds to me like both of yours are offensive. Want and think they do. Offensive.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not huge on Dallas Turner, and I think you can get Verse trading back. I don't think you have to reach for him at 8, and I think he's probably the better prospect. So that's my take on that. Let's bring in Garrett Key. He's got some hot takes. What's up, GK? GK?
How y'all doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Are you in Phoenix City, Alabama?
Yeah, I am.
You're in enemy territory. I didn't realize
I know. So right on the Columbus line, but yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with all. That's why I hate Auburn so much down here, because they're annoying.
I hate them when I'm up here.
Right.
I'm closer to South Carolina. I can't stand them.
So I was like, I want to – Paul, you kind of stole my thunder because I think you kind of answered on your part. I was driving back from Athens today, coming back from the baseball game, and trying to find, like, local sports, and there's just not much. So I was like, let me go to 92.9 The Game. So I was listening to that, and John Fricke, I think, was the guy, and he kind of makes – it was all Falcons talk, obviously, so I was listening to it, and one of the questions that was posed, and then now I think I know what Paul's answer is. I'm going to ask Eddie and Andy. So if the Vikings decide, hey, they're getting nervous, and, you know, and they say, well, you know, we see these quarterbacks, and they say they make a call to the Falcons, do you take that and get that 11-23 pick for the eighth that the Vikings say, hey, we're getting nervous, we need a quarterback, and they see that, would y'all go ahead and take it and trade down, or do you think the Falcons would just stay pat?
Dude, I would run as fast to that stage as I could and throw that card up. There's.
Do you want the 11-23? Yes.
Yeah. You hang up the phone before they could even.
Right. Hey, and I figured on. That was probably going to be it. Yeah, but it was just interesting because
I don't see a world where, and then we're going to get to that too. I'll ask you this question as well, which kind of leads into this question about the quarterbacks being drafted in the top 10, but. I don't see a world where the Falcons can hold on to eight and JJ McCarthy's still there. Somebody's going to try to jump the Giants. And mm-hmm. I feel like, because the Giants, if he's sitting there, I think the Giants probably take a quarterback.
Yeah.
They're done with the Daniel Jones experiment. So that's the only point that hurts the Falcons with that. But yes, 11-23 all day, every day, because one of your two defensive ends, you know, and Josh Gillen makes a good point here. I have to point this out. Verse doesn't fit the scheme. Can't drop in coverage. 4-3 type base guy. Not really a 3-4 edge for Verse. I'd find a way to put him on the field somewhere. But he does make a good point with that. That him and Turner are a little different.
I want to interrupt you though. You're talking about JJ McCarthy. This draft has him going fourth overall to the Minnesota Vikings.
So that's four what I'm quarterbacks. 1, 2, 3, 4.
But so you said they would. You said if a team wanted to get McCarthy, they would have to get in front of the Giants. That means they have to go all the way up in front of the Vikings to get a quarterback, according to this draft.
Well, the Vikings are 11.
Well, this has the Vikings trading up. They did put the Vikings trading all the way up before. So,
jeez.
Okay. Yeah.
And another thing, I don't know if y'all know this or not. Did you know they flew out to Seattle to the head coach and Zach Robinson? All of them, they flew out to Seattle to basically work out Michael Penix. And yes, I don't think that's any possibility, but you're not investing all that capital and money to go out there if that's not an interest, I think, for you. And so
who is in Washington, Garrett?
Roma Odunze.
Oh,
That's a good point.
Interesting.
Good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very good call.
Call him that, eh? Yeah.
Dogfather says if New York is done with Daniel Jones and goes McCarthy, neighbors may be available in that scenario. Yeah, so
yeah, that's true.
Might get lucky and because Tennessee looks pretty much locked in on Joe Alt. So you know we'll see. Real quick, guys.
Quinyon Mitchell in the table for him because I think
Quinyon Mitchell will be there if they move back to 11-23. He'll be there. You know.
I'm going to eight picks and going with that, dude.
Well, I'd like Garrett to join this. Who do you want and who do you think?
I don't think offense is this big. I mean, if neighbor's there, I think he would be a guy like you just can't pass on him. And I think it's going to be Turner. I really don't think they would pass on Mitchell, guys. I just don't. I think that he's on the table for them. Like, they love that type of a player, I feel like. I mean, Brent Grimes comes to mind with that, and I could see them kind of, like, getting all geeked out about it if he's there. And if he's – and we don't know what their big board is. That's the thing. Like, you have no clue what they're ranking. I don't know what, but I think it's Turner. I wouldn't be surprised if Mitchell does get the call. I mean, I kind of hope it doesn't, but I just see that's a Falcon thing.
So who do you want though? If you were getting
Turner,
Turner. So in the
only thing that worries me with Turner, he is a small he's a smaller defensive end a little bit. He's not the biggest dude. So, but I mean, and I don't think the defensive end is a massive, massive need for the Falcons at this point. I mean, they got a lot of needs. You know, they got cornerback, offensive line. You know, we could, but I just don't think it's a huge need for him. But if he's there, I think that's what I'd want is Turner.
Moving on to the next subject here, before we talk quarterbacks, came up with this before the show, and we'll go around the horn here. Over under 2.5 dogs in the first round. So this really. What this hinges on, I mean, it could, you know, for whatever reason, we know Brock is going first round.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty confident Amarius Mims is going first round, unless something pops up, Larry Metunzel style, you know, draft day video. We're pretty sure he's going first round too. Okay. Which that's still crazy to me that came out on him.
That was a week of too.
It was the day of the draft is when all that stuff came out. Yeah. Remember the text and all that.
Yeah. And so this kind of hinges on Ladd McConkey. And I didn't think he was a first round pick, but there are mock drafts out there, gentlemen, that have him going late first. So we've got to put another dollar down. Foster Moss he's got the over on here. Oh, that's he's got Kamari going first round.
Yep.
Oh, and so does Dogfather. Kamari late in the first round.
That's funny. That's exactly who I was going to say. So
you're over, Eddie.
Yeah, I'm over for sure. And I think Ladd may get picked up in the first round. I'm going to go ahead and say four because somebody's going to fall in love with him, and he tested off the charts. All it takes is one, so I'll go four. I'm going over.
Garrett, who you got?
I got three. I think Ladd will slide at the very end in there. So I got three.
You're over. That's my
Josh Skelton saying under. Make sure you're putting these in too. You got these, Andy?
Hang on, I'm getting this all I can get. Yeah. So Garrett,
okay.
You said three.
We got to make sure we put Foster, Dogfather, Skelton, all the regulars, all the OGs four. In here.
I have Foster, I have the Dogfather, Josh Skelton.
Josh is saying under. Man.
I'm gonna agree with him. I say under. I think two.
You're going under?
I'm going under.
Okay.
I totally whiffed on Kamari. Didn't even think about Kamari when I asked that question. That's added a little bit of extra-ness into it because I was just thinking, Ladd, I'm going to go under. I'm going Brock and Mims.
Me too.
I think Kamari and Ladd will be two of the first 10 taken in the second round. They'll be early second round picks.
Yeah.
Going under, but it's going to be close. Yeah. And like Eddie said, it only takes one team to fall in love with a guy like Kamari, especially a guy like Ladd. Ladd is more of a gadget type player that like fits into an offense perfectly. Like if he's your guy, he's your guy, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because you can use him.
So this draft, Walker Football has Kamari Lassiter going to the 53rd pick. To the Atlanta Falcons, to the Philadelphia Eagles with the 53rd pick.
I think Walter Football just did that because that's the Eagles pick. That's the only reason.
He's not going that late. I don't think that's crazy.
I don't see it, but I think both of them are early second round picks. Last question of the draft here. We've got Goat Dog. Make sure you put Goat Dog in there. He said over K3 will be the third dog off the board in the first round. I don't know, boys. Let's see. Big Hoss says zero. All right. last question about the draft, and we'll move on, guys. Over, under, five quarterbacks in the top 10. Five in the top 10. I was going to do four in the top five, but decided to do five in the top 10. What you got, Eddie?
I'm going to go under. I think it's four. I don't, because the fifth would be, the first three are obvious, right? The fourth, I think, is J.J. McCarthy because everybody's just gotten this woody over him. I don't understand it, but I think he goes. The next is what? Probably Michael Penix?
Michael Penix.
A lot of talk about
that. I think that's an absolute reach to go with him at 10 or 10 or below, and I just don't see that. So I'm going to go under.
Garrett?
I got four as well. I think four.
Andy?
I've got four. I've got four.
You know what? I'll be the different one.
Contrary. I knew you were going to be the contrary.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll go over.
But do you really think that?
Like, I think that the hype is real. I think that you've got the four for sure.
So
you've
got, where does Phoenix go, though? That's the question.
Somebody's going to trade up for him. Right.
Okay.
So the Raiders need a quarterback. The Broncos could potentially need a quarterback. Somebody's going to trade up for him. And if the Chargers, you know, end up trading their pick and McCarthy's going to go top five. He's going top five. Okay. And then so you've got four. Somehow you've got to find that fifth one in Penix. Mm-hmm. I'm going over. I'm going
five.
Do you
see a scenario where our favorite Auburn quarterback, Bo Nix, can go in the top 10?
I don't think so, but I could see a scenario where he potentially goes like late in the first.
Yeah, I agree. I
think the Raiders would love Bo Nix.
Who loves Bo Nix?
Raiders. I just feel like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that is like a good match. Yeah. let's see here. Let's make sure we've got everybody. Foster says over. Jim gonna surprise us and get JJ. Oh boy. Who is Jim? Is that the Falcons?
Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, so for sure. Penix at under 10 is a risk due to his age, Skelton says. I agree, but there's folks out there. Big Hoss says under.
And Big Hoss, were you being serious about zero dogs in the first round?
God, no. No.
I'm trying to write these down. So what is your Big Hoss? What is your prediction for the dogs in the first round?
There's no way he's at zero.
Just write down zero. That's what he wrote.
Yeah. Make sure he gets that one wrong. Goat Dog says under. Josh Gillum says Broncos getting Bo Nix, in my opinion. Drew Brees clone for Sean Payton. Boy.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
That's one of those, though, that we're all laughing at right now, and then Josh Gillum's going to come on here in 5 years, and he's going to replay this and be like, told you guys. He's the only one thinking that. I think that wraps up the draft for the most part. I mean, it should be a fun one. There's going to be a lot of movement, I think, with quarterbacks trying to be, traded up for. Falcons are in a very interesting spot at 8. I really hope that they can make a deal with the Vikings for 11 and 23. I'm totally cool with that. If not, just let it be somebody that could actually do good.
Well, yeah. I could make the prediction right now. When we draft at 8, which we will, Paul, me, you, and Andy will be texting each other going, "What? Who? Why?"
If it's Michael Penix, I'm throwing the TV through the
window. No, really? You'd be that? Wait. You'd be angry if it was Michael Penix? I would not be angry.
Yes, 100%.
Well, no, wait. It depends on who else is out there, okay?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it. No, it doesn't.
No, he's not the eighth pick of the draft.
You've got Kirk Cousins for 3 solid years. Maybe
a fourth year. Spent $100 million on a quarterback. You don't.
Yeah, you're not going to sit him for 3 years. He's going to be 35 by the time he gets to start. He's too old.
I'd actually be okay with that.
Okay, Paul. Here's the question. Last year, they did not take Jalen Carter, and they decided to take another halfback when we had a 1,000-yard halfback. Would you be more upset about last year's situation, or if they took Penix this year? What would be worse? I guess
it would be this year, I think, because last year wasn't that upsetting.
Yeah, last year wasn't that terrible.
Oh, that was terrible. I would be more upset about that.
No, it's not terrible. It was not the right pick, but Bijan's going to be a great player. I mean, he's dynamic as hell.
Yes.
Come on. I understand what Paul's saying, because you're taking a pick there at 8, in my mind, that's going to sit there for 1, 2, maybe 3 years, right? But, I mean, just look at the way the Packers have done things, okay? Let Michael Penix sit for a few years. He comes right in, and he's your starting quarterback. Who's our starting quarterback after Kirk Cousins? I know it's hard to think about that, but you do have to think about things like that. Okay.
Taylor Heinicke.
God forbid. What if his Achilles is not well? What if he's not healthy? He gets hurt. Whatever.
Who's that quarterback in Athens? Who's the quarterback in Athens right now?
Carson Beck?
Just say. That's who I hope
it. I hope that the Packers don't
shit for next year. That's impossible to do.
Well, we can't project it for 4 years away either. So, yeah.
I hope the Falcons don't draft Carson Beck, because Carson's probably going to go top 10. I would hope that the Falcons are not in a scenario where they're in the top 10 again.
Right. Okay. That's right.
I'll give you that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Garrett, what else you got, brother? I know you don't want to stick around here with us all night.
No, you're good. The only thing I would kind of go into Eddie's point, like, all right, with what we have right now, I think we're feeling pretty good on offense. If the Falcons are in that 20 range in the draft coming up next 3 years, there ain't going to be a quarterback that's going to be there on the draft. Right. So if one's there, you need to have someone there to get trained up and everything. And, if the Falcons are going to be maybe as good as we think they could be in the next 3 years, they're probably going to be in that 20 to 20th range, and you're just not going to have a quarterback. So I can see that, but one of
the things, you're not getting somebody to help you. That's the thing. You're not getting somebody because you're in a win now situation with going out and getting Kirk Cousins. This is win now. You're getting a guy that's just going to sit. He's not helping. You got to get somebody to help him, right? Isn't that the?
Yeah, I mean, it's 100%. Like it's tough. Like if they're in that 20th range, that means they've been doing somewhat good, you know. So you kind of maybe hope they're in that drafting range. But I mean, and last thing too, I think Bijan's gonna have a really good year, and it made sense. The guy we're bringing in, a Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, he's bringing in a zone blocking scheme. That's kind of his thing that he apparently goes with. The last offensive coordinator that we had that did that was Kyle Shanahan, and Tevin Coleman had a breakout year when that happened. So I think Bijan's really going to see his – you're going to see his full potential this year in that scheme. So that's what I hope at least.
I love it. Garrett, come back with us next week. We got to go over our predictions, brother.
All right, guys. We'll see
y'all. Thanks, Garrett. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Big Hoss says Packers cost Rodgers a title not getting him a wide receiver and getting Jordan Love. I asked Randy Payne last week, guys, for his slogan for the Dogs for 2024. He had a great one.
He did. Awesome.
Eat off the floor.
Ooh, I like that.
Hey, Randy, go ahead and put it on a shirt, brother. Eat off the floor in 24. Go Dogs from Tipton,
that
Georgia.
That is Randy's fantastic. That's really a good one.
I tasked him. I said, look, man. Go for 3-23 was him. He did it. He was the first one. Eat off the floor in 24. There it is. I like it. Walter Football has the Falcons going Rattler in the third. I think they draft somebody in like the third, fourth round.
What I think they're going to do.
I mean, obviously I prefer that, right? I mean, come on.
I sure hope, brother. I sure hope. Talk a little college football. A couple rules came out, gentlemen, that they were looking at, and then they made it official very recently. We thought one was going to happen. The other one was kind of yay or nay, but there's also another thing. So you can now use digital tablets on the sidelines. Quote, teams can have up to 18 active tablets for use in the coaching booth, sideline, and locker room, the NCAA said in a statement. Quote, tablets cannot be connected to other devices to project larger additional images and cannot include analytics data or data access capability or other communication access. All team personnel will be allowed to view the tablets during the game. So I don't know what the hell they can look at during the game.
Yeah. If you don't have network access, what can you do? Yeah.
And I guess you can look at previous plays. So you can look at the video of previous plays. I'm sure that's probably what the NFL is as well. They're not looking at analytics, but who knows? The two big ones, though, are you now have the communication in the helmets for one player on each team to wear the device inside it, and the helmets will be marked by a green sticker, just much like the NFL does. College football helmet comms will be cut off when there are 15 seconds left on the play clock or when the ball is snapped, whichever one comes first. We knew that was coming. Then the last one, there's now going to be a two-minute warning.
Yeah.
But they say this will not be a time for the TV to take a commercial.
Okay.
This is just a two-minute warning. This will not be a commercial scenario.
Huh. I didn't know that. So it's a shortened – timeout, 5 seconds, and we're back to playing?
It says the adoption of the two-minute warning is not expected to result in any additional TV timeouts. Not expected. Huh.
Not expected. That can change.
Yeah, there's. It's not saying it will not, but they don't expect it to. What's your take on the new rules changes?
Anything? I like it. I think they need to have. I think they need to have communication because you see what happened. The whole. It's probably the Michigan rule. All that stuff that was going on with them. They said, okay, let's just end this. So now the quote unquote cheating or spying. Now you can't really do it because you can just talk. I mean, I guess you could technically read their lips, but. I mean, so that, I think it's a good thing. I thought it should have been done years ago. I never really understood why they weren't doing it before.
Now, this is me assuming. Sorry to cut you off, Eddie. Okay. Let's say, heaven forbid, Carson were to go down or any quarterback for that matter. I'm assuming the backup's quarterback will also have that already in it.
Yeah, I'm sure, and they'll have the capabilities. I'm sure it's the whoever's playing quarterback on the field will be able to do that. Yeah.
Because so now the quarterback's getting the signals through headset. You don't have seven GAs on the sideline, but do you have six now? Like, are you still putting in the calls to wide receivers at some point or running backs? Are you relying solely on your quarterback? Because if that's the case, you have a great advantage with Carson Beck being a leader and knowing the playbook. You got a guy like DJ Lagway for Florida. You know, if he's starting a freshman, he's trying to learn the playbook himself. And then he's also getting the call into his helmet and he's having to deliver it to the entire team. Whereas used to, they could all look over. All he has to know is how to interpret what they're saying on the sidelines and do the play. Now he's having to interpret it and then communicate it as well. Whereas the other players were just, you know, looking at their one GA that was over there and giving them their own play call.
You're saying that one guy's hearing it, nobody else is, and he has to communicate that to everybody else. Whereas they were all looking at the sideline and they could see what was coming, right?
Right.
That's a great point. I didn't think about. And you know what, Paul? They don't have to do that. I bet a lot of teams continue with the signals, what they're comfortable with. There may be some teams that do that. So the reverse of that is true also, right? There's going to be a defensive player that has that green tag if they choose to use it, right?
Yeah.
On the defensive side of the ball, right?
Yeah.
So who is the defensive player that's getting those calls for Georgia? Is that C.J. Allen?
I would probably say C.J. Allen.
Yeah. Or Smile, one of the two.
Yeah, yep. Maybe I didn't think about Smile. That's a good call. It may be Smile.
It's got to be either one of those. Curious if it's going to be – I could definitely see you implementing it on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, maybe. You know, I'm sure they're going to use it, right? Mm-hmm. They're definitely going to take advantage of it. To what extent, though, you know, you're running against a fast, high-powered offense. It might be easier for everybody to just look over to the sidelines real quick and get the call as opposed to calling it into Smile or CJ, and then he's having to project it to the rest of the team. Right. You're running against a quick two-minute offense. Do you change the game plan there? Do you not go into the helmet and you just go to the sideline? I don't know if this takes away those sideline calls in, if that makes sense. I think those
I wonder if this also makes the offense break the huddle more quickly now to get to the line, and that allows the coaches up top to see what they're seeing, right? And within 15 seconds, they could say, "Oh, change to this, off we go." You know what I mean?
They call that whereas sugar before, huddle thing or whatever they call it, where they're just
I mean, it could change. I think it could change that for sure. But Paul, it's got to be. And I think you're right. If a quarterback gets hurt, there's got to be a backup, and they can use that green sticker on anybody, right? I mean, now what if the communication breaks down and one team can't use it for whatever reason? Does the other team get to use it as well, or do they shut that down altogether? Was that was that written out?
It was not. I'm sure it's written out. It has not been discussed to where
I think that's the case in the NFL, right? If it's not working on one side, they shut it down for the other side. I think I may be wrong about that.
Could be a little bit of bad baseball there. Maybe you get somebody like Andy who knows his technology. You get him in there, you throw a little radio jammer on the frequency that they're on.
Yeah.
Also, who is this has always been funny to me because they say it stops either at 15 seconds or when the ball is snapped, either whichever comes first. So I'm guessing there's just somebody now that's going to be sitting up there. You got to probably have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And stop it, pausing, stopping, go, yes, no, to the communication.
Yeah, they're probably just turning the mics off.
Not like, it's not like you can use AI to do that. You know, it's got to be an actual person up there that's hitting, yes, you can talk, no, you can't. Yeah. So I'm sure that person will probably get yelled at some point because the quarterback's not going to be able to hear. The guy forgot to press the button.
Can you imagine being down in Alabama and some of the home cooking they get that, oops, I forgot to turn his mic off.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, or you forget to turn the opposing team's one back on.
Oh, sorry, Carson. I thought it was working. Yeah.
Two.
Hey, Paul, I think you make a brilliant point, though. I really do. It's not something I thought about, and I'll give you kudos. It's pretty rare that I do that. But when Georgia plays Texas and Arch Manning is a star quarterback because he had an incredible spring game, and he's going to be the starting quarterback, right? I mean, Ewers is done, according to what we saw on Saturday. So when Carson Beck plays Arch Manning, Arch Manning has no idea what's going on in his headset, and Carson Beck is like, oh, I'm, you know, no problem. So that's a huge advantage for a quarterback like Carson Beck. I think that's a brilliant point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Well, he mentioned Lagway. Florida's got more problems. They have 10 guys on special teams in their did you see that? They couldn't even get 11 guys on the field
in the spring game.
But yeah, a younger quarterback with that helmet communication could be a difference maker. You know, late in games. I like the 2-minute warning. I like that. I've always thought that that needed to be implemented into college football. It changes so much of the game in the NFL, right? The 2-minute warning.
Oh, it's huge. It's an additional timeout.
It's a timeout.
Right? Yeah. Right. It can determine whether you have to turn that ball back over to the other team or not in a lot of scenarios. The NFL utilizes that 2-minute warning, you know, great. And teams that can utilize it great normally win the game. And then teams that mismanage that 2-minute warning. How much, if you're Kirby Smart, you know, are you on your – well, Kirby Smart's on his coaches about everything. So they're going to have this 2-minute warning down to a science. But how much are you, if you're the head coach, are you like, hey, guys, this is – we have to change this up a little bit now. Because we have this 2-minute warning, we have to worry about, or it can help us as well.
Yeah, they'll definitely have different strategies depending on if they're ahead or if they're behind, or depending on how far they're ahead. Because it could be that they're up 9 points and they are trying to run the clock out. So, yeah, there's so many different scenarios. But you know Kirby Smart. They're going to be – every little I is going to be dotted and every T will be crossed. There's no question about it.
I can guarantee you Kirby's already – bringing NFL coaches in or collaborating with them and talking about how they use the 2-minute warning pro and against, right? He's already done that. I have no worries about that. But you're right, Paul. I mean, that's an additional how to use a timeout down the stretch. You have one left. You use it before or after the 2-minute warning. I mean, that brings a whole new strategy into college football we've never thought about before. And I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm looking forward to that because the 2-minute warning in the NFL, you're always like, all right, you know, if they can get it to the 2-minute warning, they can stop the clock. You start doing math in your head. In college football, you've never experienced that. It's like, if Georgia gets the ball back, you know, with 4.5 minutes left, it doesn't matter how many timeouts the other team has. The game's over, right? Yeah. With this 2-minute warning, it's like, man, Georgia could have to punt this back they get stopped, you know, and it changes up the full dynamic of college.
It's basically an extra timeout if you're down, right? I mean, that's what you look at. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It can be used for a lot of different things. So I'm glad that they had that's being added. Also the helmet communication, it's probably should have been added 10, 15 years ago.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I guess Connor Stallions was the reason that it, you know,
it got to the forefront. Michigan, they got that. They did. It's all about.
And that's also like the NCAA. They don't do anything until something tragically bad happens.
They react.
They're very reactionary and not proactive in that sense. It took Connor Stallions and a huge mega story of Michigan football for them to be like, hey, yeah, maybe we should put the helmet communication in. We don't have this guy on the sidelines, you know, stealing signs. I don't know. Was Carson using it on G-Day game? I didn't see him. Yes, he did have it on his helmet.
He had the sticker. Carson
did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carson had it on G-Day, so I probably should go back.
Well, he wasn't doing this because there was no noise. I mean, he hasn't.
But Gunner did it a couple times.
Yes, he did. So, that's true.
I need to go back and watch that G-Day game and see how that – if the wide receivers were looking at him for the calls or if they were still looking to sidelines. I didn't even think about that. To be honest, until right now, now that the rule changes has been into effect. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. Braves. We'll switch over to the Braves real quick. Looking good.
Yeah.
With injuries galore. Good news is Ozzie Albies was back in baseball spikes on Sunday, which is today. If you're listening to us on Monday, then yesterday. Back in spikes. Should see him back on Friday. One guy I'm curious about. Where's Sean Murphy, guys?
As of yesterday, there's still no good news. So
that's a big mystery. Any
swings. Yeah, they said it was just a grade 1 oblique strain, but you know how those things go.
It seem like he was going to be on the 10-day IL and back.
Yeah, he's still, and that's what, and that brings up a good point. And Eddie was talking about that earlier about Travis d'Arnaud being washed up. You know, people are saying it, and when Eddie texted us that, I was like, you know, that's an argument that can be made. But like Eddie said, he's tired. He's playing so much now that he's not getting the days off. So I don't think he's washed up, but I don't know what you do. And there is a argument. I haven't seen James. I was hoping he was going to be on for this segment because there's an argument out there of if the Braves should have gotten Sean Murphy or if they should have kept Wild Bill. Because you look how good he's doing now.
Could have kept who? Contreras?
Yeah. I think I call it Wild Bill. But yeah, no, he's playing really well. And, like, you know, the knock on him was his defense. I was reading an article the other day, like, his defensive stats have, like, basically he's improved drastically over from his time in Atlanta. So, I don't know. I was hoping James – maybe we'll save that because I was really wanting to see what James was thinking about that. But I read that article, I think, on Fox Sports. But
yeah, if you want to cry a little bit tonight, William Contreras is batting .354 on the season, 4 home runs, 20 RBIs, 18 runs. OPS is 987, close to 1,000. Only 26 years old, too.
Yeah.
Now,
who's his backup?
And for the Brewers?
Yeah.
I couldn't.
You can't name him, can you?
No idea.
Okay. Well, I'll take d'Arnaud and Sean Murphy all day long.
So that's right. So that's what I was getting at. This conversation only seemed to have popped now that Murphy got hurt this year early.
And he's going to be back. It's not like he's done for the year. I mean, it's this oblique. Have you ever hurt your oblique, Paul? Yes. Probably not, because you don't do sit-ups. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
where is the oblique for those listening? This is just for those. I know where it's at, Eddie, but where is it for those that might not know?
Well, it's in your side right here.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right there. Yep.
Yeah. So just try twerking your body like that a little bit. And imagine a muscle right there torn or partially torn. I don't know if it was torn, but whatever.
It wasn't torn. Yeah,
feet, whatever. Okay, you can't do it. I mean, Paul can't do it now, and he's healthy. So, right. I mean, no. Yeah. But, I mean, that's everything a baseball player does is that right there, right? So, I mean right. – I knew when he heard it, I was like, oh, God, this is not good. This is probably one of the worst injuries other than something like a UCL, obviously, right, that puts you out for the year. But that's not good. And, I mean, I'll take Murphy all day long. I disagree with that take that James had about Contreras. I love Murphy. When he's healthy, he's a fantastic player. And as the plan was Murphy starts 70%. d'Arnaud 30%. Right. Okay. Obviously, yeah. That's flipped, and d'Arnaud woke up as an old man this weekend and took over the series, but we can't expect that all the time. He's older. You know, catcher's tough as hell. Those guys wear themselves down. So, and Trump doesn't do anything for you, right? So, you need him back now.
Yeah, we do. But I don't think James, I don't know if James was saying that he didn't like the trade. I think he was just kind of throwing it out there because I had read the
article. He's a big Contreras guy. I think it's him. So, and to answer your question, put that back up. I started cooking at 3 today. So thank you.
What was it that you cooked, Eddie? What was it?
Shrimp etouffee. It was fantastic.
I had ham-a and macaroni.
You had what?
Ham-a and macaroni. So,
ham and macaroni?
Macaroni, yeah, macaroni, corn, you know, good stuff. Yeah, not shrimp A or whatever
you call it. Why did you just call it ham and macaroni?
What?
I was saying ham and macaroni because he was saying shrimp A or whatever.
Oh, you're trying to
he's trying to be cute, Paul.
Yeah. Murphy can't hit though, Josh Skelton says. He says he was okay last year, but
that's ridiculous. Of course he can hit. Come on.
Foster said, just one shrimp at a time, baby. One shrimp at a time. Oh man, that comment from Foster last
that week. Was awesome. And then the video after somebody throwing one bean in a pot, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was by far one of my favorite things.
I know you had a good time with that, didn't you, Paul?
I did. And Foster's comment really pushed it over the edge. Jermaine King's in here. He ain't talked all day. He ain't talked. You know, we've been going for 50
he's laughing at something though. We don't know what.
Goat Dog says those red beans and rice were falling off the bone, baby.
There was ham bone in there.
Who, Andy? Who the Braves have this week?
Well, right now they're playing Texas and they're losing 4-3.
Yeah,
Vaughn. What's the rest of the week look like for these Atlanta Braves?
Well, their upcoming schedule for the Braves, I'm clicking on it now. Marlins they are next. Yeah, so they have right now they play on the 22nd, which will be tomorrow. They got Marlins coming in, and then the Indians are coming in for the weekend.
Nope, so. Guardians, not the Indians. Don't say that's offensive to me.
I don't care.
I have Native American in my blood.
So do I. So do I. So it doesn't bother me.
Indians is offensive.
Oh, JK said I was babysitting my cousins. Fair enough. Fair enough. Foster Moss went to the game Friday night. It seems like everybody I know went to the game this weekend. My family.
That was
went.
A three home run game by Darno, wasn't it? Oh, what a game to be at. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then come to find out Saturday night, we go out to eat as a family Friday with my sister, my mom, all them. And I'm talking to my brother in law because he normally doesn't have the weekends off. He's a general manager for Best Buy. And hey man, you wanna watch the game Saturday night? Yeah, I'm off. Oh, okay, but I'll be at the game. Okay, all right. Who are you going with?
You together, huh?
Yeah, who are you going with? And they went with, they're more friends of theirs, but I mean, I'm friends with them as well. So like, it would have easily been okay to extend that invitation. No invitation was extended though.
Yeah.
So.
Is that hurtful, Paul?
It hurt a little bit.
Did y'all go eat at? Where was the family dinner at?
We just went to Longhorns. Ordered my steak medium.
Solid. I love Longhorn ribeye steak.
Or the steak medium. It came out like a hockey puck, brother. We waited 45 minutes for it. I just ate it, and the kid was going crazy.
It wasn't good?
No, hell no. It was terrible.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'll tell you who is good, though. Dane Young looking snazzy. That's a new Nike hat he's got on there, I can tell.
I've been playing some golf in it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm not very good.
The glasses are very similar. But look at the glasses there. You guys are very similar.
We're vibing.
Yeah.
By the way, my food hot take is that steak in general is kind of overrated.
Oh, my God.
And that was cool. We had Dane Young on the show for a few seconds here. I'm so glad to have him on.
Oh, my God. Just cut his ass off.
Hey,
that is awesome.
Well done, Paul.
That was a crazy take, man.
Steak is the best meat. Yeah, ribeye steak.
Now, I will say I grew up with parents that like steak well done.
Some of those people.
So I think I was just exposed to it at an eight. Like, I didn't probably have a good steak until I was in college. And gotcha. So at that point, that's a lot of life to undo.
Yeah, right. So you basically grew up on charred meat, is what you grew up on, right?
Real quick, guys. Goat Dog says, I heard good things from that Rivals camp in ATL. Make sure you're checking out UGASports.com, guys. The vault is going to be packed full. Lance, Jed, Trent, and Roddy, we're all out there today. Going to be a ton of stories coming soon. A lot of kids, as you would expect, have Georgia up there near the top for them, 2025. And then also a lot of 2026 kids that you're going to start hearing about. You should start, you know, recognizing their names. So make sure
you know the story, though, Paul, is QB.
What Juju said? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, did y'all see that?
I haven't seen that yet, but I also just lost my mouse. There it is. All right.
Why don't you fill us in,
like there's a It seems like there's a fork in the road here, and that Georgia has made some choices that do not involve Juju Lewis in the future. Now, I'm sure that door would still be open if Juju wanted to run through it, but it would take some concessions on his part. That's at least how I read it. I'm not reporting any of this. I haven't talked to him. That's my perception from what I read.
So what you're saying is maybe go check out ujsports.com.
That's what I would do. I would go read that. Yeah, that was interesting. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that is very telling. So
let's just go five wide here. Brent, please tell me you're not going to say steak is overrated.
Steak in general or steak? Look, like, I thought you
were going on like – I came on here, Brent.
Land of sports.
How do you need clarification with that? I don't understand.
I mean, it's a media thing, so I was thinking
– No,
steak. Like Atlanta. Okay.
Steak. No. Yeah, that broadcaster, he's overrated. The meat, that's what we're talking about, Brent.
No, it's not overrated.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, your partner here decided to come on the show and just decided to get kicked off instantly saying it was overrated meat. So,
yeah,
that was kind of crazy.
I will say there's a lot of it that's very average, but the best is really good.
So, I'm calling Russ Tenner now. This shout out.
Hey, Russ doesn't do the steak reviews. He's all about the barbecue.
Barbecue. Yeah, that's right.
I bet he could put you. Hey, you know him. I bet he could put you in touch with somebody that could get you a mean steak, though. For sure.
Oh, I'm sure he can do it himself. I'm not denying his ability.
I'm sure he probably $100. Russ Tanner does not say steak is overrated. Bet you not right now.
No, you can tell.
I'll tell you what's not overrated though is this show that you guys are going to be doing here in just a few minutes. Are you guys? So you're going through a mock draft. We did the Falcons. So just to let you know, we did the Falcons who we think they will take and who we want them to take.
Okay.
So that's what we did. And then we also talked a little bit about the quarterbacks, and we did a. Which I want to get you guys real quick because we just have a few more minutes. Over under 2.5 dogs in the first round.
Under
for both. Okay.
Wow. So I do think if there's a third, to me it might actually be not the one you're thinking.
So
okay, who is that?
Wouldn't be Ladd, and you're thinking it would be Kamari.
No, I would. I actually think might maybe Bowler before.
Oh, wow.
Just as a surprise, like at the very end, because of the versatility play sort of everywhere, I could see somebody like the Chiefs just sort of leaning in on their defense and making their secondary that much deeper.
I think there's also a chance that Kamari is closer to the third round than the second round.
Yes, I would bet he's more third than second round. Whoa. Like that, the 40 time really kind of.
Okay. Other questions we had, over under 4.5, really, quarterbacks in the top 10.
4.5 under.
Under, okay.
I think it'll be 4.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's definitely under. I actually think it'll be 3.
Oh, that's a crazy take.
Okay, you don't think McCarthy goes, or do you think someone else falls out?
I have a feeling that, will Atlanta trade back? Tennessee or Atlanta trade back? Like I think the Chargers are going to take somebody at 5, and I think the Giants are going to take somebody at 6 and not take QB. So it's does Tennessee at 7 or Atlanta at 8? Because Chicago's obviously not taking QB, and I think they want Adunze or Bowers potentially. Like so, I think it's does 7 or 8 move back?
So if somebody takes McCarthy in the top 10, man, I don't even think that guy's a first-round quarterback.
But I agree on that, but all it takes is one, Dane.
I will mention my house, Dane. Let's go house for house. J.J. McCarthy is going in the top 10.
What's your Zestimate? I need to see what I'm working with.
we're all right over here. We're all right. We can go. You probably got better schools than I do, but I got a little bit of land, so we'll be all right. We'll go house for house, okay? I think he's going top 10. And what was the last question?
In the end, likely he does go top 10 because with each – if the trade to like 4 or 5 doesn't happen, or even 3 for that matter, if Drake May falls, there's going to be like 3 or 4 teams, I think, trying to jump into the top 10 for him.
Yeah.
But if McCarthy doesn't go 4 and that trade doesn't happen, as they get closer to, like 7, 8, 9, you're going to see somebody – be like, oh, I'll pay an extra third rounder and maybe one pick next year easily.
Josh Skelton says, didn't Paul say it last year about a Kentucky quarterback? It's 2 years ago, and I'm trying to get my house back from Dane. So it's really it's a lose-lose situation for me.
This is a weird quarterback draft, though, because I am not sold on any of these guys. And if you push me to it, I think I'd be sold on Drake May the most, and he seems to be the one that's losing momentum.
Wait a minute. You're not sold on Jaden Daniels?
I'm not sold on him being durable enough for the NFL.
Oh, I like him. I like him a lot. So I'm putting my Paul stamp of approval on him, so he's probably going to be hot garbage. Andy,
Who do you guys think the Falcons will take in the first round, and who do you want the Falcons to take in the first round?
Yeah. So who will they and who?
Well, this may take away from what they're doing. Their show.
Oh, is this taking away?
We don't need a spoiler.
Well, we're going to do more of a predictive mock. It's not like we're not going to do a what we want mock. We're going to do a predictive mock.
So then maybe don't give the predictive away because you're going to be on your show. Give us the who you want.
My want is easily somebody not at pick 8. It's somebody at pick 13, 14, 15, 16.
Okay.
Plus an extra third in the or maybe a second rounder next year if somebody's trading up for QB. Because I think whether it's Verse, whether it's Quinyon Mitchell, whether it's I think you can move him down 16, Chop Robinson, like whoever that is, defensive player, because I don't see them taking the receiver. I would rather than move down. But I will say, if Odunze's there, I my want would be to take him.
What if Malik Nabers fell there?
Oh, brother.
Take him, too. Take him, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's – what happens in front of them, I think, dictates what they need. If Nabers falls there, take him and run.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
Well, guys, we're going to run. Dane Young and Brent Rollins are going to get ready for their show. We appreciate you stopping in, guys. They're doing a predictive mock. So if you're a NFL mock draft fan, make sure to stick around. They've got some hot takes, obviously. Say McCarthy's not going top 10, all this stuff. So it's going to be fun to watch for sure. We appreciate you guys jumping in. We'll get out of here in just a second. Okay, we'll give you the channel.
See you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, boys.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap up here. We appreciate it so much. Next week, Falcons, the draft will be over. We'll do some draft grades. We'll see who won, who lost. Hopefully the Falcons win, but that's tough there. Trip Heron says, Trip from Nahunta, that's a fake city, says, do the Hawks trade Young?
Oh, he's done. You watched his last game last Wednesday. He's done as a Hawk.
We'll also dive into the Falcons draft and then the Hawks, what they should do in the offseason next week. Guys, we appreciate you so much for sticking around with us. Hang out just a minute. The channel will be back live with Brent Rollins and Dane Young. For Andy Stowe, Eddie from Ackworth, I'm Paul Meharry. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much.